Buccaneers, your daily Tampa Bay Buccaneers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, and welcome back to the Locked On Bucs podcast, brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15, and you will receive 50% off your next order. I am James Yarko, joined as always by David Harrison. You can find everything that we're doing over at BucsNation.com. Make sure you follow along on Twitter at LockedOnBucks, at JYarko_Bucks, at DHarrison82, and at Bucks_Nation. We'd like to welcome in all of our returning as well as our new listeners. If you are a new listener, please subscribe to the podcast, rate and review it, leave us those 5-star reviews, and help other Buccaneers fans find us. We really, really appreciate it.
And on today's show, you're going to hear an interview that I and Chris Russell actually did, my co-host over at Locked On Washington Football Team podcast. We got a chance to interview Virginia Tech linebacker Rayshard Ashby, and he is a late-round prospect, potentially undrafted free agent, but he's an off-ball linebacker, special teams contributor with a lot of energy, a lot of production at an ACC school. So we figured that interview probably works for both angles as the Buccaneers look to flesh out their roster towards the back half of the 2021 NFL draft. So we're going to listen in on the first part of that interview again with Rayshard Ashby, and then we're going to answer the question of the week. But first, it's Mock Draft Monday. But first, we're actually going to listen to Tyler from Boston as he kicks off our answers from you guys for the question of the week.
What's up, boys? Tyler from Boston. Answering your question of the week, the worst free agent signing for the Bucs. And, this one is just one that I can remember, I guess, just bearing in mind that I'm in my late 20s. But, the worst one I can remember was when the Bucs signed Derek Ward. I hope I don't misremember anything as it was like 10 or 11 years ago. But you guys mentioned guys that were overpaid. Well, I definitely think he checked that box. But, more so than that, I also just remember him having just a bad attitude, and bad attitude players are never good for a club, for a, a locker room. And I guess he didn't present much of a fit, quote unquote, or whatever it was. So he got cut only after a year. So I think the big reason why I think he was the worst, because it represents, him and the firing of John Gruden, that was like the start of the, what I call the second dark age in Buccaneers history. I mean, we just became a mediocre team, poorly run team for years. Nowadays teams don't sign replaceable positions like running back to multi-year deals when they're already in their late 20s, especially when they've only ever put up one good year, which I think Ward did. And, and then cutting him only after like a year, after a season, only confirmed that he was a bad idea. The team had absolutely no idea what they were doing. So just in general, yeah, he was unproductive. And I know Cadillac ended up, I think he was injured, and that was why we signed him, but he ended up getting healthy and he ended up getting the majority of the reps. But, I just don't remember Derek Ward making any memorable contributions ever, which is frustrating. So, yeah, that's my pick, man, Derek Ward.
Tyler, thank you very much for the call. Yeah, Derek Ward signed a 4-year, it was like $17 million contract with the Bucs. Only $2 million was guaranteed, and he ended up with like 400 rushing yards. That was not a great signing. But, yeah, we're going to get a couple more of those voicemails as we talk about the worst free agent signings in Buccaneers history. But first, David, let's go ahead and dive in to this mock draft. This one coming from Lance Zierlein over at NFL.com. You have the usual suspects up at the top. The Jags take Trevor Lawrence. The Jets take Zach Wilson. Then you have an in-division trade where the Carolina Panthers move up to number 4 to select quarterback Trey Lance. And then slipping down to number 8, the Atlanta Falcons take Patrick Surtain out of Alabama, a stud corner to help them go up against the high-powered New Orleans Saints and Tampa Bay Buccaneers offenses. Speaking of the Saints, at pick number 28, they take Mississippi wide receiver Elijah Moore. We go down a few more picks, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers round out round 1 with Alabama running back Najee Harris. Lance Zierlein says, quote, assuming the Bucs' focus is on their championship window, Harris would offer a 3-down option who can help the run game and take pressure off Tom Brady's shoulders. So another mock draft linking Najee Harris to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, and it's easy to see why. Ronald Jones, as good as he was Obviously, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers aren't as sold on him as some of us are. I mean, myself included. I think Ronald Jones should be their primary back and all that stuff. But, you know, they decided to, quote unquote, roll with the hot hand. To me, and honestly, it seemed like they were really wanting Leonard Fournette to have the hot hand, especially down the stretch. But, hey, there's injuries. There's COVID. So cut everybody a little bit of slack there. But either way, I don't think you want to make another run at a Super Bowl with Ronald Jones and Keyshawn Vaughn being your top two running backs. You need to add somebody in there. The free agent market is not a good place to add running backs, just like Tyler kind of just pointed out for us. So Leonard Fournette coming back is a solid option. Obviously, things didn't work out between he and Seattle. New England is still rumored to be in the mix, but we'll see what happens with Leonard Fournette, possibly by the time you even listen to this episode, as news can break at any moment. But if they don't bring back Leonard Fournette, then I think Najee Harris is definitely a good selection for the Buccaneers. And really, out of the divisional picks, James, I would say that Elijah Moore to the New Orleans Saints is the one that stands out the most to me, because that's a stretch-the-field kind of guy. You know that Jameis Winston likes to throw the deep ball, but he's also got Michael Thomas there. And if they go through and they build out this roster where they can attack defenses in the passing game at all three levels, it'll be on Jameis to pick the smart throw, obviously, but the Saints will at least be able to put an offense together that gives him options at all three levels.
Yeah, and you know how I feel about Najee Harris. I think that would be an absolutely phenomenal pick for the Buccaneers. I think he would help the offense tremendously, be a great complement to Ronald Jones. That pass catching back, I think it would be a fantastic fit. David, I'm very sad. Not only did my beloved Fighting Illini not even make it to the Sweet 16, but I lost the opportunity to win a lot of money when they were eliminated. But of course, I placed that bet with our friends over at betonline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, the NHL, and March Madness are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, television shows, and reality TV, with real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it is free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today, and you will receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with promo code LOCKEDON. Again, use promo code LOCKEDON, and you will receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get podcast. Segment two here, the Locked On Bucks podcast, to kick off the week. And like I said in the opening of the show, guys, we've got an interview here. Chris Russell and I, my co-host over at the Locked On Washington Football Team podcast, were able to secure an interview with Virginia Tech linebacker Rayshard Ashby. Very good information from him about being an undersized linebacker and how he's kind of been doubted throughout his football career, as he looks to be projected to be a late round draft pick here, upcoming here in the 2021 NFL draft, if not an undrafted free agent. We know the Buccaneers love linebackers. They love effort guys. They love production. And Rayshard brings all of that, including a little bit of leadership on top of that from his time at Virginia Tech. So without further ado, let's listen in on this interview. Again, it's Chris Russell, myself, and Rayshard Ashby. This is part one of that conversation.
While we're in the midst of NFL free agency, don't forget, guys, the NFL draft comes up at the end of April. And of course, we'll have surround coverage. And so I said, you know what? We might as well go find ourselves a linebacker. And he happens to be a guy with Virginia roots. He was born in Chesterfield, Virginia, and he played at Virginia Tech and played a high level of college football with the Hokies. He's Rayshard Ashby, and he's with us here. Rayshard, thank you very much for your time. Congratulations on a great career. How are you?
I'm good. Thank y'all for having me. Really appreciative of being here and just the opportunity. I'm feeling good. I'm doing fine. Just grinding right now.
Absolutely appreciate your time, Rayshard. And I want to dive right into it. We're not gonna pull any punches or give you any soft pitch warm-ups or anything. I mean, the story on Rayshard Ashby, right? Very productive, very, very solid member of the Virginia Tech defense, started all but three games. But you're shorter than the quote unquote, you know, Mike linebacker is supposed to be. Again, I use air quotes, supposed to be in the National Football League. But I mean, a lot of scouts will tell you, and a lot of media members who have scouting experience would say, that production outweighs everything. So do you feel like you're getting enough justice for your production at Virginia Tech, or do you think your size is being used against you a little too much? And how do you feel kind of about your stock as you get ready for your pro day?
Yeah, I mean, it's something I've been going through since I was young. So I'm used to it now. Like, it's always the questions about the height. If I can produce at the next level, I mean, I had that in high school. I had it from high school going to college, produced it, and now I have it now. And it's something I play with all my life. So, I mean, I know how to use it to my advantages against other people and my opponents and my teams. I definitely think I understand the scouts asking it just because of how the way football is going right now. But like you said, I mean, a football player is a football player. I know I can play football production. I'm going to produce. I'm going to make plays, and I'm a playmaker. So at the end of the day, I know I can do that.
You know, you don't have to be tall to attack the line of scrimmage and to stop the run and to tackle, right? I mean, you might have to be tall against a 6'5" tight end. But like you said, you know, you've been dealing with it all your life. So, like, what little adjustments maybe have you had to make in terms of in pass coverage if you're going against a guy 6'4", 6'5"? Is it just the ability to whip your head around and right at the right time to read his hands? Like, how do you kind of go about maybe leveling the playing field a little bit?
It's definitely, I think, especially in my height, I got really good at it. And this is the thing that Bud Foster was great at teaching us at Virginia Tech was, well, first thing is getting your hands on them, just so you can get in their body, kind of slow them down and get a feel for where they're going. And then reading the ball through their eyes and their hands. Like when their hands go up and you see their eyes getting big, you know, all right, now it's time for me to shoot my hands in there and knock it down and just playing through the hands. So it's definitely something I've gotten used to over the last 4 years.
So, of course, something that's going to draw attention to NFL teams is the willingness and ability, one, to play special teams, which I think your athleticism shows that you definitely have the physical abilities and your mentality says that you'll do pretty much whatever the team needs you to do as a member of that organization. But then you talk about scheme versatility, and you know, the narrative is that you're a 4-3 Mike linebacker first and all that stuff. But do you feel like there are traits about you that make you more scheme versatile so that you could possibly fit into whatever the future plans are for all 32 NFL teams?
Yeah, definitely. I think I can get even way better in space, but I think I'm good in space. I can improve everything, but I think I can cover. I can blitz. I can do anything. 4-3, 3-4, stand up linebacker, whatever you want me to do, I'll figure it out and I'll do it. I just got to get a chance and teach me and I'll learn. I promise you.
All right, guys, once again, that's part one of the conversation between myself, Chris Russell of Locked On Watch Football Team Podcast, and Virginia Tech linebacker Rayshard Ashby. Part two will be coming up as well this week here at the Locked On Bucks Podcast. But for now, we're going to get into our final segment of this Monday episode. But before we get to our next break, we're going to listen to our next Bucks fan, next caller, and helping us answer that question of the week.
Hey, guys, this is Cam from Southern California calling in about our worst free agents. I was going through a couple in my head, but I mean, this might just be because it's one of the freshest, but Chris Baker just stands out amongst the rest. Not necessarily terrible with regards to money. I mean, he was, you know, it's like $15 million over 3 years. But during a time when it felt like we were really trying to push, and it was just another one of those signings that led to literally nothing. He barely performed and then gets cut in under a year. So it's just the timing of all of it with absolutely nothing coming from it. It always has just stood out as one of those awful signings in the middle of some of those awful years. So, yeah.
Here at the Locked On Bucks Podcast, we've been telling you about Built Bar for a while now. It's the best tasting protein bar on the market. Amazing low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, best tasting protein bar, and it's covered in 100% chocolate. Now is the time to find out which Built Bar is the best. It's Built Bar Madness time. Today's matchup is coconut versus birthday cake. James, who's getting your selection to move on to the next round?
Unquestionably, it is birthday cake. Coconut is the swaggy baker of flavors.
All right.
I am not a coconut guy. Birthday cake has my full support.
That is James Yarko's opinion. If you have your own, go to builtbar.com or at @bar_built on Twitter to cast your vote. Remember, use promo code LOCKED15 while you're at builtbar.com and you will get 15% off your next order. That's LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order of the best tasting protein bar you will ever try at builtbar.com.
wrapping things up here on a Monday edition of the Locked On Bucks podcast, and the NFL draft is just weeks away, so it's time to start following our Locked On NFL Draft duo. The Draft Dudes podcast watches every prospect so that you don't have to, and the Locked On NFL Draft podcast is your daily draft news and mock draft podcast. Follow the Locked On NFL Draft and Draft Dudes on the radio.com app or wherever you get your podcasts. David, we have a few more voicemails answering our question of the week. Let's go ahead and dive in.
Hey guys, this is Yusuf out here in Phoenix. So let me set this up for you real quick. Back in 2014, the Bucks decided to let Donald Penn walk for no good reason all the way to Oakland to sign with the Raiders. So I know what you're thinking. Lovie Smith and first-year GM Jason Light, they have a plan. They know what they're doing. Jason Light didn't take good advice at this particular point in time. He decided to listen to Lovie Smith and sign Anthony Collins to replace Donald Penn. Very bad decision. Anthony Collins is one of the worst free agency signings that I can remember. There's a lot of them, but that takes the cake. Meanwhile, Donald Penn has the rest of his great career in Oakland. Also plays one season with the Washington football team, but he had a great career. Man, I miss that guy. He just retired a few days ago, so I wish him all the best in his retirement. Anyways, back to Anthony Collins. Terrible signing, just terrible decision by the organization at that point in time. Luckily, they only lasted, both of Lovie Smith and Anthony Collins, only lasted one season in Tampa. Anyways, guys, thanks for the conversation and go Bucks.
All right, Yusuf, appreciate your phone call. And I would like to remind everybody that Lovie Smith had control of the roster when he and Jason Light were a team. Just FYI.
Lovie Smith also lasted for 2 years.
Oh, there you go.
So, then he went to go run my Illini into the ground.
That is a very good answer, though. Still, no matter who had, you know, quote unquote, control and decision making authority. I'm going to go a little bit further in history, James, and I'm gonna set mine up a little bit without trying to eat too much time here. So those of you who listen to the show for a while know kind of my history of football fandom. For those of you who don't, I'll give you the quick bridge version. And that is that I spent much of my youth in Germany. So my favorite football team of all time is to this day the Frankfurt Galaxy, who are actually coming back. That's incredibly exciting moment for me. But anyway, so my NFL fandom didn't really start until I got back to the United States with my father. Started really more towards the mid part of the 90s. And during the early 90s, one of the dominant teams in the National Football League was, of course, the Dallas Cowboys. So if you're a football fan in general, which I am, you know who the Dallas Cowboys are from the 90s. You probably watch them a lot if you're overseas when the Dallas Cowboys are one of the best teams in the league. And at the time, I think there were three channels you had to choose from that spoke English in Germany at the time. So you saw a lot of Dallas Cowboys football. So I wasn't a Dallas Cowboys fan, but I knew who they were and I knew who their players were. And I knew especially who Alvin Harper was. So even though Warrick Dunn really kind of sparked me paying really close attention to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers franchise, years before that, Alvin Harper is actually the first player that went to Tampa that caused me to pay attention to the Buccaneers in my memory. And obviously that move did not work out well. Going to the Buccaneers in 1995, finishing year one with less than 700 yards receiving and just two touchdowns, he ended his, I don't even want to say career, but his time, quote unquote, with the Buccaneers with just three touchdown receptions, less than 1,000 yards in two seasons. So obviously a very terrible signing for the Buccaneers and one that stands out in my memory because of those reasons. So that's my answer, as uncommon apparently as it is. I really thought somebody was going to say Alvin Harper. Before we get to your answer, though, we do have one more caller that called in to give their answer. So let's hear from them real quick.
Hi, guys. JT from Texas. Worst free agent that I can remember. I can't go back that far, but I want to say Chris Baker, but I have to lean towards Michael Johnson. I expected we had a little help at defensive tackle with Gerald McCoy, so Chris Baker didn't hurt that much, but Michael Johnson was supposed to set the edge for like 5 years. Nothing. I think he had like four sacks, and they cut him. Paid him a lot of money, too. All right, guys, that's the worst I can think of. Ready for the next question? Go Bucks.
JT, thank you very much for the call. Yeah, good answer. I honestly had even completely forgotten about Michael Johnson. He became so irrelevant so quickly, other than that ridiculous contract. Okay, so I had a list of a couple of guys. My number one, David, if it makes you feel any better, was indeed Alvin Harper.
Nice.
Who got that four-year, $10.6 million contract, made him the ninth highest pay. I mean, like, I realize people hear $10.6 million over 4 years, and they're like, oh, okay. No, that he was the ninth highest paid player in the NFL.
Right.
He was the second highest paid receiver behind Andre Reed. Like, that made him the guy.
Yeah, that was good money back then. That was wide receiver one money back then.
Oh, yeah, that was big-time wide receiver money one. I did have Chris Baker on the list, aside from him jumping off sides, laughing about it, you know, dancing with a tree, shoveling food down his gullet, and then the Twitter beef he and I had. yeah, that was something. I'm actually going to go with Deshaun Goldson. Now, Deshaun Goldson was brought in to pair up with Mark Barron on the back end of that defense, got a five-year $41.25 million contract with $18 million guaranteed. He played for 2 years. He played 27 games and then went to Atlanta and then went to the Washington football team. Like, he did nothing. He was not that back-end guy that the Bucs thought that they were making one of the – in fact, he might have been the highest-paid safety in the NFL with that deal. I can't remember – now, but yeah, that was a bad signing. So to recap, we had Chris Baker, Derek Ward, Anthony Collins, which was another great selection, Alvin Harper, Michael Johnson, and Deshaun Goldson. Let's flip the script though, David. Our question of the week.
Real quick, before you get into that, though, I do want to point some things out because I think that's a very good pick, but I also feel the urge for some reason, I'm not really sure what it is, to be honest with you, to defend Deshaun Goldson a little bit. So, for one, I think that his time in the NFL was significantly shortened and hindered by the fact, at least with Tampa, was hindered by the fact that Mark Barron really didn't pan out to be a very good running mate back there in the defensive backfield anyway. But then also, you have to go back through the list of rule changes, and I actually did that real quick while you were talking. 2012 is when the NFL instituted their defenseless receiver rule, and that was Deshaun's last season in San Francisco, Pro Bowl, first team All-Pro season, and then he goes to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers where so 2012 is when they expanded the list, right? So it was implemented in 2010, I believe, but it was actually expanded in 2012, and that's where you see that first year of, you know, how are we going to do this? But then the following year is when the referees are really kind of comfortable with it, and the initial outcry of you're making the game soft kind of goes away, and we see kind of the beginning of the evolution and what it has become today. So I think that kind of goes hand in hand with it, because I remember back then we talked about it, not on a podcast, obviously, but just in NFL circles, that like safeties like Steve Atwater and John Lynch wouldn't be who they are or who they were right with these rules currently today.
Yeah. I mean, and that's a fair criticism, but it's a lot of money to shell out for a guy that didn't pan out, no matter what the reason is.
No, I'm with you. I don't know why. I just felt the need, like Deshaun is somewhere, like he cares about what I had to say, but I don't know why. I just felt the need to disagree with you. It's been a long time since we talked.
But David, let's go ahead and flip the script. And our question of the week this week, who is the best free agent signing in Buccaneers history? And David, we didn't talk about this before the recording. I'm going to throw it out now. I feel that we should exclude Tom Brady.
Yeah, you can't pick Tom Brady.
Okay.
And Rob Gronkowski was a trade. Just before anybody calls in with Rob Gronkowski, they traded for him.
That is accurate. So other than Tom Brady, who is the best free agent signing in Buccaneers history?
But again, it's got to be a guy that wasn't on the roster. He came to the roster. So you're not talking about a re-signing. You're talking about a signing.
Exactly. You can send those answers over to our voicemail box by calling 813-444-5841. Or you can email them in by typing it out or recording a voice memo to lockedonbucspodcast@gmail.com. Make sure you're also sending in your Would You Rather Wednesday questions. We will be doing that on Wednesday. That should be a good time. please check out everything going on over at BucksNation.com. And make sure you're following along on Twitter at LockedOnBucks, at @JArco_Bucks, at DHarrison82, and at Bucks_Nation. Hope you all have an absolutely outstanding Monday. Stay safe, stay healthy, wash your hands.